Our next presenters are here to talk about a lot of great work that's happening in one of Pittsburgh's neighborhoods, Larimer. And here with us today we have Pat Clark, who's managing partner of Jackson Clark Partners, a Pittsburgh-based consulting firm that specializes in community and organizational planning and is really deeply rooted in a lot of community engagement and initiatives locally. So Pat is formerly worked at GNC and also is really into the arts and artist management and programming, founder of Carp All Night in Lawrenceville under the 40th Street Bridge, and also a former roller derby announcer. So we have Pat Clark. We have Juan Castellanos, community outreach specialist from the Kingsley Association, and he's with the Department of Community Sustainability and Development. So he's been there since 2012 as an intern through Carnegie Mellon's U-Dream program. And he earned his undergraduate degree in Urban and Regional Studies and Landscape Architecture at Cornell. And with us today, we're also glad to have Evelyn Brooks, member of East Liberty's community, resident of East Liberty Gardens, and she participated in a lot of the great work that you're going to hear about today through the Larimer Consensus Group. One of six neighborhood residents who served since the summer of 2012 as members of the survey team. So with that, I just would like to turn it over to our guests today and just want to say thanks.
Thank you for that august introduction. Yes, I was a roller derby announcer. It's the only job I've ever been fired from. I still don't know why, and I'm still bitter. I can't believe you brought that up. But on brighter news, I'm pleased to be here in such a good grouping. A lot of folks here I know, a lot of folks here I've worked with, and it's certainly a pleasure to be here to talk with you and to talk a little bit about the work that I've been fortunate enough to do over the last few years, but in particular over the last year in the neighborhood of Larimer here in Pittsburgh. And we did what we called a civic census. It was a survey, but I'll give you a little background on it. And I'm going to make sure that I don't forget anybody. It's important to also note that a lot of the folks that I worked with, not a lot, but some of the key folks that I worked with on the project are here in the room. And Stephanie Danes was kind enough to get us involved in the project. And David Weber, J.W. Kim, who's not here, from the Housing Authority of the City of Pittsburgh, were really instrumental in this. Our partners with the Kingsley Association, East Liberty Development, Inc., East Liberty Housing Inc., which owns the East Liberty Gardens property, and the Larimer Consensus Group were our key partners on the project. And she can't be here, she's back in India, but the whole connection with PNCIS and the team was a woman named Maitri Shaw, who did a lot of data analysis for us. She wrangled a ton of information, and I'm very appreciative for her effort. So why'd we do the survey? For kicks, it was fun, it was challenging, challenges are fun, but we did it for a specific reason. We were hired as a group of consultants to help the Housing Authority of the City of Pittsburgh and their partners with those groups of organizations that I mentioned earlier, put together a proposal for a HUD Choice Neighborhoods Implementation Grant that potentially is up to about $30 million. A week ago Friday, they actually announced that the funding is now officially available, so we'll be putting together that final proposal over the next few months and making good use of the data. We have to, in order to meet the requirements of HUD's CNIG, they call it, Choice Neighborhoods Implementation Grant. For HUD's CNIG grant, we had to get a bunch of baseline data, a lot of baseline data. So we set about identifying through a series of very complicated matrices everything we needed to know to be able to get back to HUD to tell them what they wanted to hear about the community of Larimer. And we knew quite a bit about the community of Larimer. I've been fortunate enough to do the community plan there in 2007 and 2008. The consensus group and a lot of their partners went on to do a vision plan, a land use and market assessment with the Strata group in 2010. And this is the third phase of planning. And all props to the folks in the neighborhood. They are not sick of planning at this point. They started from the beginning saying we don't need another plan, but they've been pretty busy over those last few years doing things too. So in addition to that, it was important for us to not just get the data that HUD wanted, but to also, and we took the time through a series of the community meetings we had to ask the residents of that neighborhood, the businesses in that neighborhood, if you had to ask your neighbors about these areas, housing and health and safety and employment and economic development, physical, recreational, cultural assets, what would you want to ask them? We actually took time to get a lot of the questions from the community itself. And where the folks here at Pitt were really instrumental was in helping us to align those very micro data goals with the larger regional quality of life survey, the Power of 32 survey. So if folks were in the community wanting to get a set of answers, we made sure that we did our best to align them with those data sources that were already in existence. That was how we came up with a survey that was an unfortunately large survey. It took almost an hour for people to get through, but they did, and they are very, very enthusiastic about it. About 240 questions all told, depending on the circumstance of the household. It entailed starting initially with funding from the Housing Authority to make sure that we engaged residents of the public assisted housing. We got universal participation in the Housing Authority's properties out at Hamilton Larmer. To date, we've gotten 60% responses in the East Liberty Gardens housing residents, and we're actually continuing to do the survey there toward the goal of getting everyone, all the households there, to participate in the survey. And we also have made efforts to get additional funding because the partners we were working with on the project, the community partners, really challenged us. They said, we should talk to everybody. Can we talk to everybody? Can we interview everybody? So our goal is to continue the survey, actually probably after we've completed the application to HUD, and hear from everybody in the community and to hear what they all have to say. Because there's a couple of reasons that we did this and a couple of uses for the data. One, it helped inform what we were doing in putting together the proposal for Choice Neighborhoods. We were able to enter in the process of finalizing a lot of the plans in that application. But the key thing for us, and I mean, you can get data in a lot of different ways and it's statistically meaningful, but what we wanted to do was to continue work that had been done in the Larimer community to really engage that community and to build the most informed participatory community possible. There's a lot of folks who focus on community engagement. This is one step beyond that. This is community participation. And I think probably the most important outcome that we can have in a lasting way, aside from the federal funding, is going to be a more robust civic infrastructure. That's one of the reasons we didn't call it a census. We specifically called it a census, a civic census, because it was important for us that there was community participation at a level that is pretty ambitious. The folks in the neighborhood, the partners we worked with, came up with a slogan, "We're all in." And they wanted us to drive to that. They wanted to use that as the central theme. And we did. We have utilized almost a political campaign methodology. We had door hangers with the we're all in message. We used three contacts at least to get people involved. We have a team. If you know anything about organizing, if you get a group of four or more people wearing the same t-shirt, you can talk people into almost anything, including during the survey. And to me, one of the most important parts of it, my partner Tracy Jackson really drove this, was Evelyn Brooks was the star of our show. These posters were all over the neighborhood. She and the fellow residents who were doing the survey, whom we trained on iPads, props, to do a survey that we were then able to compile. That was really key for us because when you say survey to folks, they often run screaming the other way. But we could have Evelyn knocking on the door of her neighbors and friends and soon-to-be friends. We could have the ability to say, these questions, like, your neighbors want these questions answered. Like, that's not my question per se. We did align them with larger survey data, but that was critical. The other thing that was important, because we're doing a lot of this on a short timeline, and again, if you know anything about organizing, go where the people are. We didn't have a really good way to set up in East Liberty Gardens, so I opened my second of a two-car garage, the one that my wife complains about this thing sitting in, and we rolled it out, and this was our survey center, and it was actually a little cramped at times, depending on how many people were in there, but it was pretty effective, and I think the lesson of this to us is that if you have a dedicated group, and we had about six folks that we hired through the HUD process, through the Housing Authority, Section 3 hires, and they did a great job, and they continue to do work out there, and are going to continue on the neighborhood portion of the survey. And key partner in being able to do this is to work with a community-based organization, the Kingsley Association.
Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Juan Castellanos. I'm from the Kingsley Association. The Kingsley Association is a 120-year-old institution in Pittsburgh serving the residents of the East End, with particular focus on the neighborhood that we're located in, Larimer. As a partner in the planning process, this whole civic engagement has been particularly beneficial to us, has been beneficial to our four core programs. Community Sustainability and Development, which is the department I'm in, Health and Wellness Programming, Family Support, and Education and Training. This survey has helped us in three different ways. The primary way it has helped us is that it has identified major trends in the community, major concerns and needs. Because it is a very comprehensive assessment, as Pat said, 240 questions, that's a lot of information. So it really has allowed us to really pinpoint what do residents need and how can we connect them directly to the services that we provide, that we already provide. But then also, what other services can we connect to? The Kingsley Association is all about collaboration with other nonprofits. We have certain strengths in some things, but also there are other nonprofits that are much better at doing certain things. So some examples of Kingsley's partnerships that kind of deal with some of the initial results that are coming out are, one partnership that we're doing is with the Rebuilding Together Pittsburgh, and identifying homes within Larimer that we could assist with home repairs, and actually employing people that have gone through some of the education and training programs that Kingsley has done. Another program that we just started is Neighborhood Works has actually set up a satellite office within Kingsley. So the idea of providing financial guidance or financial assistance, housing assistance to residents in the area, since that is something that has been identified. We use this information to guide our programming. So one of the other initiatives that Kingsley is a part of is the Urban Green Growth Collaborative. And our objectives is to really educate residents and make them informed stakeholders in their community. So each month we have a different topic that addresses an issue that has been addressed in the vision plan from a few years ago or has been identified through the survey. So we brought in speakers who come talk about fixing your home, urban agriculture as a means of employment and economic development. The next few months, we're actually going to be talking with the business community and kind of bringing them in more to be part of the community. The second way in which the survey has assisted us is that because of the comprehensive nature of the survey, and because of the focus on getting everyone surveyed, it really has assisted in our targeting our outreach efforts. So instead of diving into the neighborhood with a specific program and flooding everybody, we can actually maximize our resources by only going after specific houses that have identified that need. The third way in which it has assisted our organization is that, again, because it focuses on individuals, it has strengthened our relationships with the community as a whole, but actually with individual people. And that's where I want to pass it on to Ms. Evelyn Brooks. Because of this effort, it is someone in the community who's actually coming in and talking to every resident. So.
Hello, my name is Evelyn, and I'm very happy to have been a part of the civic survey because it affected me, directly affected me also, just like the residents in East Liberty Gardens. And through taking the survey, I was made aware of how many people were so uninformed and misinformed about what was getting ready to happen in the community as far as development, redevelopment, and relocation. And they, knowing that there was someone there that really took an interest and also made it known to them that there were people out there that really were interested in what they thought and what was going on in their lives, and which made them get more involved in things and realize that it was very important to get involved in what was going on around you before it got took up from under you, taken from under you. So I'm glad to know that the survey made a difference in a lot of people's lives, getting involved, and it being a stepping stone for other programs to be formed. So I just want to let you know, I'm very thankful to have been a part.
Yeah, we've got time now for questions for Evelyn, Juan, and Pat about the project in Larimer, the planning that's been going on, and the kinds of work they see going into the future. And good, I'm glad to see you doing the HUD grant. Good luck with that. A couple of questions. Tracy?
Oh, here we go.
Have you completed the survey? Do you have the data? Were there interesting findings? And as someone in Hazelwood who thinks we're following a similar model, how did you make sure you got the iPad back?
Well,
I either lose mine or keep it. I just
yes, we have the data. It's a ton of data, and actually that was my biggest fear, is that anybody was going to ask me any question about it. Because it is a massive amount of information. The one thing actually that we talked about just yesterday in a meeting is that a lot of people who have absolutely the lowest level of financial resources that you might imagine in the community prefer not to get financial counseling. So there are limitations, obviously, to questions that can be asked of folks, because you know that financial counseling is something that would benefit folks. So I think questions combined with education and more informed community are really critical. So I guess that's one thing that comes off the top of my head. Survey has not been completed yet. We actually have done a good number in the neighborhood itself, but we're just about to gear up and continue the neighborhood portion of the survey. We got a commitment from the Housing Authority to continue work in the neighborhood, and preliminary commitment from a foundation to be able to continue some of that work out there. So we're excited about that. And I know where these people live with the iPads, but more to the point, when you're working with folks in a relationship that is a working relationship, and when you see them as much as we saw them, and when you're putting them in a position of leadership in their community, there's a lot of trust that gets developed, and that's one of those soft things that you don't necessarily, I mean, I guess you could quantify that, but I don't know that you have to.
Thank you. That's great to hear.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
This is Tracy. I just have a question now. We did a not as extensive, but it's, I want to say, a similar survey some years ago at Penn Hills, and understandably, oftentimes the data, like the results, is negative. It's not good. People aren't saying, "Oh, this is just wonderful," you know. So what happened is that it kind of got squelched. Like the prod, you know, because the council got negative comments, the survey really never went through. So I guess I'm kind of saying, not as a cautioner, but I'm hoping that you're able to understand that's coming, and then also sort of, you know, be prepared to say, no, this is why we need to do certain things, or this is why, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. It just seemed like we were all excited about it, and when we got the data that was, you know, it's like a whole house inspection. It didn't say great things about the community. People were kind of surprised, and I was surprised at that.
Yeah, a couple of things. I'm ready for the man. Bring the man on. Believe me, we've met the man and have worked with the man. But I think one of the things that we were able to do is, it hurts to say this word, transparency. There, I said it. But you know what? If you're transparent on stuff, it makes a big difference from the start. One of the things that I think I get paid for is to allow people to bitch, moan, gripe, and complain to their heart's content, and to allow them a forum and a venue to do that and the time to do that. One of the first interviews that I did in the community of Larimer in 2007 took place over 4 hours, over 2 days, and at the end, the woman was kind enough to send me an invoice for her time. You got to know that the bad is going to come, because there's a lot of bad things to say, and to me, the big portion of that is transparency. And you got to be ready and capable of jujitsuing it. You've got to make sure that if you know it coming and you see it coming, you have a way to direct it toward a better place.
I have one final question.
Tracy has a question.
Tracy.
You've been overruled.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, you know, you looked at a lot of needs and issues in the community. This was an opportunity also to find out what was the capacity and talents assets of the residents. Were there any questions in there, and how did you structure to find out, you know, who had something to give back in their community?
A couple of ways. We asked generally, and we'd done this before. It's actually worth saying that the reason I really was excited about this is that we'd done a prototype of this survey that was focused specifically on, you know, really it was like 6 questions as opposed to 3,000. And it was, what's the biggest problem on your block? Do you have any particular skills? Is there an issue in your household that you could use help with? You know, it's really basic stuff. And the first door I knocked on was at the woman who's now the head of the Larimer Consensus Group. And the lady called us back 3 times, once to ask us a question, the second time to introduce us to her sister, and the third time to give us $5. And she said, I don't know what you're doing or who you're with, but this is great. Here's $5. And it was the first house. So I'm like, well, this may be a sign from God or just a fluke. I don't know. But I think one of the core, I mean, people talk a lot about asset mapping, and we've done work recently around asset mapping where we told the client, but until you really talk to people, like, you don't really know what the assets are, ask them. We very deliberately made sure to ask people not just what resources they had, what skills they had, but we also made sure to say, do you volunteer? How do you volunteer? Would you be willing to volunteer 2 hours in support of your community? We're engaged in a planning process. Do you want to be a part of it? And there are these groups called the Larimer Consensus Group. Have you heard of them? Would you like to be a member? There are these action teams that are dedicated to getting things done around work and wellness and green stuff and the Red Up team. And have you heard of them? Would you like to get involved in any of them? So now we've got a list of, and a lot of people said, yeah, sure, I'd volunteer. And one of the next steps we have is to go back. We're going to go back to every one of the folks that said that they would volunteer. We're going to hand them an American flag and make sure that they put it out on the 4th of July. By the way, when we have our final community meeting, we're going to have a room full of people holding the American flag because they did the survey, and we're going to take pictures and put that on the cover. I don't think that will hurt. But I think really what you have to do is listen to people, find out what their skills are, what their interests are, and follow up on it.
I have one question. Did your wife let you bring the trailer back into the garage?
I ran over her. She was blocking it, and I said, no, I'm moving it back in. Actually, my goal is, and if anybody here qualifies, I'm not from here, but I see all these riverfront properties everywhere, and if I can find somebody who's got land, I'm going to say, oh, you got land? I have a cabin.
Micro house.
Exactly. And anyways, and I'm going to actually be doing a Sprout Fund grant application later. It's a joke. Thank you.
Evelyn Brooks, Juan Castellanos, and Pat Clark, thank you for a wonderful presentation on all the work that's going on in Larimer. You've just done such phenomenal things. I want to also thank Ann Lewis for the discussion about the TRICOG group that she's been with and organizing Blightbusters and the kinds of work that they've done. Again, both of you showing fantastic community-based applications of the Pittsburgh Neighborhood and Community Information System. Again, thanks to Greg Sanders for a wonderful talk today, and also to our response panel, Chris Blackwell of Penn Hills, David Passmore of the City of Pittsburgh, Amanda Settlemeyer left of Turtle Creek Valley COG, and Brady Hunziker at Google. Again, also Rob, Terry, Jerry, and Samin, and Jerome, thanks for the poster display. I think they're really exciting. There's some little bit of time, I think, if you want to spend a couple minutes catching one that you missed. I know it's hard to see all of them in half an hour, but they were terrific. Thank you all again. Bob, thanks for all your organization and work here on our Pittsburgh Neighborhood and Community Information System. And most importantly, again, we're at the end, and I'm always amazed how many of you stay right through to the end. You are our users. You make this system work, and we're going to go with all of you to make it even better and see you back again next year. But we'll see most of you at various events throughout the year. Thanks again, and thanks to the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland, and our partners at the Pittsburgh Partnership for Neighborhood Development for our fourth annual PNCIS User Conference. Thanks.